Now, we are determined this year to revive our Fallen Off the Front Page segment, which itself fell off the front page towards the end of last year. There was just such a glut of news. So today we're going to revisit a country which, during Donald Trump's first term in office, dominated global headlines.
We will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
But North Korea appears undeterred. It's conducted over 15 missile tests.
He is a sick puppy.
The historic high-stakes summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is just moments away. The two men are about to meet and shake hands for the first time.
I learned he's a very talented man.
Tremendous positivity. We met and we liked each other from day one.
Yes, it's been 8 years since President Trump and Kim Jong-un had that extraordinary summit in Singapore, but in more recent times, North Korea has fallen off the front page. This week, the country has been holding a rare party congress, which gives us a chance to take stock of what's happening inside the Hermit Kingdom. And I've been talking with Jean H. Lee, a journalist who opened the Associated Press Pyongyang Bureau, which she headed up for 5 years. She is now the presidential chair of the East-West Center, which was set up by the United States in the 1960s to nurture closer ties with Asia. Jean H. Lee, North Korea has been holding its most significant political meeting in 5 years, the Workers' Party of Korea Congress. 5,000 people have traveled to Pyongyang to attend. Unsurprisingly, Kim Jong-un has been reappointed leader. Who'd have thunk it? Tell us about the significance of this meeting.
It only happens once every 5 years, and I should point out, until the first one, 10 years ago, it hadn't been held for many, many years, since 1980. So this is an institution, this is a ritual that Kim Jong-un reinstated when he became leader. He lays out very clearly what he wants the party, and they've got one ruling party. And so that essentially means what he wants the country to accomplish in the next 5 years. So hugely important for a country we don't have much access to. So all eyes are on the outcome of this party congress.
And we got a sense of this party congress, as I understand it, about who could possibly be his successor as leader. And it looks like it's going to be his daughter.
Yes, we have seen her being put out front and center with her father over the last couple of years. She's young. Now, by my calculation, I had to do the math. I believe she's 13 years old. Now, I should point out that they keep so much of these details under wraps. And even the first family, the Kims, we don't know their exact birth dates, their exact birth years. Some of that will be fudged as part of the myth-making. And so Kim Jong-un's age may be different than what we believe is his actual age. But I believe she was born in 2012. I was in North Korea at the time, so I had a little bit of a different vantage point and opportunity to chat with the people about what was happening. Now, I should point out that I look back at history and I look back at how previous children were revealed to the public. And I do see some patterns between how Kim Jong-un, he's the current leader, his grandfather introduced his family. Kim Jong-un is doing the same thing. And his daughter, we believe her name is Kim Ju-ae, she was introduced to the North Korean people around the age of 10. Mm. And that mirrors what the first leader of North Korea did with his own son. So she's been presented as part of this family tableau that Kim Jong-un wants to present to his people. He wants to show that he's not only a leader, a military strategist, but also a family man. So it's very interesting to see as an observer.
Always the family business, isn't it? It's a dynastic dictatorship there in North Korea. North Korean state media was gushing in its adoration, joy, praising the miracles he has achieved in the past 5 years. State media described him as the greatest person in the world. Have we got a sense of how strong still is his cult of power?
Yes, and I would say that adoration, and particularly the phrasing greatest, I think it was greatest man or greatest person, that is aimed at cementing this image of him as somebody who cares about his people. And that echoes the image that his grandfather, the first leader, projected. So, but Absolutely. The propaganda machinery is in full force trying to promote him as somebody who's gone way above and beyond even what his father and his grandfather accomplished. Now, we have no way of really and truly knowing what the people of North Korea think and feel because we've had so little access. I should point out that Western journalists or international journalists haven't really had access since 2019, since they sealed the borders at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. I haven't been there since 2017. And so we are just being fed all this propaganda, as are the North Korean people. The people of North Korea know that it would be extremely dangerous to express any negativity about their leadership. That could send you to not only a political prison camp, but possibly death. So how solid the cult of personality is, what we can see in the propaganda is that he's certainly harnessed certain relationships. And also, I would say, even though the country was isolated, using his elite units of hackers to try to bring in the money that he needs to keep the elites happy and to maintain the power base that he has in Pyongyang. So there are many different ways that he's managed to keep things afloat despite the isolation, despite the sanctions, to keep the people who are essential to propping him up, to keep them happy and to maintain their loyalty. So he has done that somewhat successfully.
And one thing to stress about the condition of the North Korean people is that Human Rights Watch has said that there's increasing repression, particularly targeting young people's use of media and technology. There's a growing wealth inequality between Pyongyang and regional North Korea, the elites that you talk about, and the people on the ground.
Absolutely. And I think that context is very important. We don't have a full picture. And even though Kim Jong-un, part of his five-year plan from the previous party congress was to improve the state of more of the cities outside the capital, I can guarantee you that life is still extremely and unimaginably difficult. It's even difficult inside the capital, I'll tell you. The country is still one of the poorest in the world, despite the images, because so many of those resources, the meager resources, are being poured into the nuclear program, right? So there's still a lot of deprivation, no freedom of movement. As you say, they don't have free and open access to the internet. I mean, outside the capital, very few have access to electricity or heat or power. So what we see is just a tiny, tiny sliver. It is really the 1%. There's quite a lot of repression and quite a lot of scarcity and quite a lot of difficulty beyond the images that we see in their state media.
Let's talk about the relationship with President Trump. I remember the day that Trump threatened Little Rocket Man, as he called him, with fire and fury. I was at the United Nations the day he threatened to wipe North Korea off the map. I was also on the Korean Peninsula when Donald Trump traveled to the DMZ, the demilitarized zone that separates North and South, when he met Kim Jong-un and famously stepped over into the North. Bromance was the cliche of the hour back then. What now?
Yes. You can see these relationships flip-flop. And I think that's important to remember now, that even though Kim Jong-un, throughout the pandemic and up until now, has really closed the door on relations with the United States, he has a relationship with President Trump, and it can go quickly from hot to cold or cold to hot. So I have been saying all along that Kim Jong-un will use this presidency, the second Trump presidency, as another opportunity. So he's got a couple years. I think we should be mindful that we could see another moment at the DMZ. We could see another moment, another handshake at some point, maybe not too far off in the future.
Jean Aitchley, it has been fascinating to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Happy to join you. Thank you so much for calling attention to this.
That's Jean Aitchley, an expert on North Korea.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.